Is it on now? Is it on? Okay, praise God. People will be saying the same things, you know, and you talk with somebody and it'd be the same thing that your wife just told you yesterday, or it's just as amazing. And you know, I started thinking about that a lot as the years go by, and many of them have. And I start thinking about family. You know, the older we get, we think more about the things that are really valuable in life. And I started thinking about just how valuable the family of God, the body of Christ, really is to me personally. And you know, we have blood family. And sometimes with our blood family, we're not always in agreement. Sometimes there's a lot of controversy in our family, but we still hang in there with them and we still love them because they're our blood family. No matter what, we pray for them and we still are there no matter what they do, especially if you've had children and teenagers, you know. You may have gone through some real challenges, but they're still family. It's still, you know, your blood relationship, you know. And family and blood relationship is really important. But you know something? The family that you have that shares the blood of Christ is even more important. Because that family is walking on the same journey you're walking on, going to the same place that you're going to. That family is the family you can count on when you need some help to deal with issues in life. Because they understand, they're growing, and they're growing in the knowledge of the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ, you know. So we have help there with that family that shares the blood of Christ. Now, if you have both, the blood, the physical blood of family, and those physical blood of family also share the blood of Christ, you have the greatest blessings you could receive on this earth. There's a great joy in sharing both blood of family, blood of, you know, physical blood, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a unity in that. There's an intimacy in that. And it's just a blessing when you come together on holidays or on birthdays and things. You're just so blessed. It's a blessing that's really beyond words. So I'll just leave it at that, because some of you are going like this and you know what I'm talking about. And others of you are going, oh, I wish it was that way. Either way, you know that the blood of Christ is such an awesome thing. And it gives us this worldwide family. And it's really pretty awesome. And my sermon today is pretty much for the family of believers. If you haven't decided to make Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe through this sermon might encourage you to take that step of faith into that family of God. You know, God, one thing I want to really stress in the beginning of this sermon is that God has a total unconditional love for us. No conditions connected with His love for us. Because while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. There's not much comparison to unconditional love than that. That is a huge example of unconditional love. That while we were sinners, He sent His Son to become sin for us. And those of us that have received His Son as Lord and Savior, who have confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, we have become born again. How many of you remember the day you became born again? Raise your hand. What a glorious day that was. It was a day that you began anew. That all the stuff that happened before that, the sins in your life, the ways you were thinking, all of that began to change at that moment. And you became a little baby in Jesus Christ, even though you were physically mature, maybe even an adult. Even though you were physically mature, you became a baby in Jesus Christ. And you began to take these baby steps with God's help now. Because before you received Christ as your Savior, you were without the help of God. You were separated from God. There was a relationship that was divided. You weren't concerned about the things of God, and you kept running into brick walls out there. You kept running into situations that kept trying to steal and kill and destroy your life. Okay? But when you came to be born again and you're this new person, all of a sudden you start realizing the gifts that God gave you with that new birth. He gave you the gift of forgiveness. Through His unconditional love, He gave you that free gift of forgiveness. And the only... The only condition for you to receive that gift, the only condition for you to have that gift is to receive it. When somebody gives you a Christmas package or a birthday present, the only condition you have to be able to have that gift is to receive it into your life. So we received the gift that God gave us, which was salvation through Jesus Christ. We receive that gift of unconditional love. And with that gift, He gave us other gifts. He gave us the gift of His Spirit, of God's Spirit, that when we became born again, the Spirit of the living God came to dwell within us. And when we were baby Christians, we were still able to live a God-glorifying life, because the Spirit that lived within us helped us to be able to make choices that glorify God even when we didn't have chapter and verse. Praise God. And He's still helping us make the right choices even when we don't have chapter and verse. Because there is a chapter and verse for everything, but sometimes we don't know what that chapter and verse is. And that's why I believe God gave us His Spirit to dwell within us, to help us make choices in this life, in this sin-filled world, without having the complete knowledge of chapter and verse. Praise God for that gift. I thank Him every day for that gift. And then He has given us the living Word. The living Word of God that helps us repair and adjust our life. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. When I became born again, all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, I have another father. And this other father isn't like my earthly father, who had no clue on what a father truly was like. He did some things really well. He was a great provider. Gave us a nice home and material goods, but no relationship. I may be speaking to some fathers here or some children that say, yeah, that's like my father. He never really taught me about the things of life other than His way of thinking. And I remember sharing Him about my conversion into Christianity and becoming born again, and He wouldn't hear about it, of course. You know, a lot of fathers, they can't listen to the sons because they're fathers. They're older. They're smarter, wiser. And sometimes they're more prideful, and they can't hear it. But nevertheless, when I came to know Christ as my Savior, I realized I have another father. And with this new father, as I began to learn about Him, I began to learn a new way of living. I began to learn, instead of becoming a man according to all the experiences of my dysfunctional life, I began to learn how to become a man according to my new father's ways. And those new ways made a lot more sense to me. Those new ways made a lot more sense on how to be. Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole used to say it like this. And last time I was here, I know I preached this particular thing. We're born male, but we have to learn how to be a man. You're born female, but you have to learn how to be a woman. You're born male, but you have to learn how to be a husband. You're born female, but you have to learn how to be a wife. You're born male, but you have to learn how to be a father. And so on and so forth. An employee, an employer. Or whatever else you might be in your life, you have to learn how to be it. And through this new father that I had when I got born again, I began to relearn how to be a man, how to be a husband, how to be a father. And things started really working. Things started really happening that was the real deal. And of course, it became a great blessing to my life as it has been to yours. Praise God. Amen? So I came to realize that in this new life in Christ and using the gifts that God gave me, and there's one more gift that I didn't even mention, and that is you guys. Now, I don't know all of you in here because this is part of my extended family, but I'm not always around this extended family. I mean, just like our blood family, a lot of times they're our family, but we may not be around them a lot, but it doesn't make them not our family anymore. They're still our family. And that's the same with you. Even if I'm not around you all the time and receiving influence from your life and who you really are and vice versa, okay, we're still family. That's just the way it is, okay? But there's some of you in here that have been an influence on my life. Mike. Doug. Jane. Pastor Ron. Chris. Over the years, we have influenced each other's lives for the glory of God. Family members that have shared a little bit here and there. Glorious things, beautiful things. And so even though we're not around each other all the time, I still consider you part of my extended family, and I hope you do the same with me. So as I'm living out this born-again experience, one thing I'm learning is that we as believers have the greatest opportunity to live a total victorious life in Jesus Christ. How many agree with me on that? But in the scriptures, as I studied the scriptures, I came across many conditions in the scriptures to be able to live that victorious life. And I mean many conditions. But it's so awesome that the very first and most important aspect of living a victorious life was given by God with total unconditional love. Total unconditional love was given to me. And with that gift that was given to me with God's total unconditional love, I am able to learn and to do all the other conditions that the Word of God tells me that I need to do to be able to live a victorious life. So I'm going to go through some of those conditions. A good example of a condition is this. To become born again, the condition is you must repent. The condition is you must repent. And the other condition is that you must receive the free gift. Those are simple conditions. The condition to become born again, a brand new person in Jesus Christ, a brand new person that can have a relationship with God, The condition is to repent and to receive. That's the condition. Simple. It's a simple condition. Okay? And then, as I grew in the knowledge of the Lord, I became to understand that there are many more conditions in life to be able to have a victorious life. It doesn't just happen. I got born again, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, but victorious life just doesn't happen to me. There's a combination of doing things with my will and God's help to help me understand what to do and apply it and have the strength and understanding and all this stuff that has to work together to be able to really live out that victorious life. Okay? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. This, through a kink in my perspective of a victorious life. John 16, 33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Period. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." How many of you enjoy tribulation? I saw a hand go halfway up. He's the one that you need to go for counseling when you go through it. Tribulation. I want to clarify some things in the Scripture, because a lot of times the only thing people take out of the Scripture is, there will be tribulation in my life. And sure enough, there will be. But it's amazing how much we can do to curtail tribulation in our life. It's amazing how much we can do from the help that God has given us to eliminate much of the tribulation that can happen in our life. Okay? Let's go through this scripture again. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," in Jesus Christ, "you might have peace." You might have peace. You might have peace. It didn't say you will have peace. It says you might have peace. That word alone says there's some conditions to this. It doesn't just happen. There's conditions to be able to have the peace that Jesus Christ brings to us. But one thing that is clear is that we can have peace in our lives through Jesus Christ. Jesus said that you might have peace. And then it goes on to say, "In the world you shall have tribulation." In the world you shall have tribulation. This is a newsflash. If I could, I'd stand up on this podium on top of it when I say this, because I'd like to do something really different or stupid or crazy just to get your total attention, because what I want to say right now is so important. And it's this: we the family of God, the children of God, those that are born again, we are not of this world. Everybody say this: I am not of this world. There are a gazillion scriptures that communicate an extreme difference between the ways of God and the ways of the world. And I'll get into those later in this message. But I want one thing to be very clear with everybody in here is that we that are born again believers in Jesus Christ, we are not of this world. The scriptures say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We are not of the world. This scripture is talking about tribulation will come to those that are in the world. John 12, 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in the world shall keep it unto eternal life. Now, if I say to you this question, do you still live in the world now and then? Do you still partake in the things of the world now and then? I guess they're classified as this: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I guess you can categorize it in those particular categories, which is a broad category. And if you partake in those things now and then, plan on having some tribulation. Plan on it. It will happen, for sure. But we are not of this world. 1 John 5:5. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? In James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. There's a distinct separation between the ways of God and the ways of the world, and we as the family of God need to be very clear where that separation is 24/7, 365 in our lives. Because a lot of times we're hanging around people that are of the world, and there's this force field that tries to suck us into that stuff. And we got to be wise enough to somehow stay on the good side of other people, but yet not get sucked into it. So we don't have to go through tribulation. I hate tribulation. I hate crisis. I hate desperation. I hate it. I have a goal in my life to try to stay ahead of all that stuff. And with God's help, we can. Amen? Amen. John 15:19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see, a person that is really in the world, if you try to communicate your life in Christ to them, many times they become your enemy because you touch on things in their life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that they don't want to let go of. And so you separate from them. But that's okay, they weren't true friends anyway. Find true friends that glorify the Lord. John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Even Satan doesn't have a power over a child of God. But Satan has a power over all those that are in the world who believes not. And there are many other scriptures that really are clear. I have about 10 more here about separating from the world and really being clear about what that is. I'll continue on to the conditions for having a victorious life in Christ. The word tribulation means affliction or trouble or anguish or persecution or burden. And there are basically two kinds of tribulation in the scriptures. One is persecution because of your faith. When you're living a righteous, Christ-centered life and somebody or something happens to you in your life because of that faith, even if it's martyrdom, you can feel good about it. Because the scriptures say, for those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, yours is the kingdom of heaven. But you know something? It's all, you really, whenever you are around people and they get in trouble and you are the one that didn't do what they did. I remember this when I was a kid. And I was the one that didn't do what they did and they get in trouble. You feel really good about yourself. That you were strong enough that you didn't get sucked into that trouble. And where persecution is concerned, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, there's even a good feeling about it. Even though you're hated, you might get beat up, at least you know you were right. Gives you a good feeling. But I'll tell you, that type of persecution, that type of tribulation, doesn't happen to us too often. Not unless you're in the mission field in some other country. The kind of persecution we get here is if they know you're a Christian and you start a Bible study at work during lunchtime or something, they tell you you can't have it. That kind of stuff. It's more of a peaceful kind of persecution, but it's persecution none the same. Or you're in school and you're sharing with somebody about the Lord in some way, shape, or form, and all of a sudden you're sent to the principal's office and they tell you, No sharing about your faith in school, even though all the other faiths can. That's persecution. I had a youth group, had 78 kids in a youth group one year, and I said, I'll tell you what, I will pay the first one that gets suspended from school for being persecuted for righteousness' sake $50. Right. So during that contest, no one won $50 because they were all chicken. But anyways, I probably got sued anyway. So the other kind of tribulation is the one that is caused by, well, making bad choices. Making bad choices. Tribulation that comes because we make choices that don't line up with this. And when we make choices in our life that doesn't line up with this, there's a universal law that it comes into effect with every human being on this planet, whether they're saved or unsaved, and it goes like this. Whatever you sow, so shall ye reap. And that universal law brings about trouble in our life, tribulation in our life. And our Father loves us so much, sometimes that tribulation comes in the way of chastisement. He wants to teach us something. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly that there is a reason for everything under the sun. There are situations that happen in my life, that have happened in my life, that I question why and really don't understand the reason. That has happened. Okay, there are different types of tribulation that has taken place in my life at one time or another that is still a mystery to me. Okay? And I'm sure that that's the same with many in here. Nevertheless, God is God, and we need to keep the faith. And just know that there was a purpose, there was a reason behind it, even though we can't understand it. But a lot of the tribulation that we go through, we know exactly why it's happening. We know that we're reaping what we sowed. We know that we're being taught something. We can understand what we're trying to, what God is trying to show us in this situation. And when you repent and get back on the straight and narrow, God is always there to receive you and begin to help you again. Stay on that straight and narrow. Being persecuted for righteousness' sake, in Matthew 5:10 it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Luke 6:22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Blessed are you." Tribulation because of making bad choices. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not," and that means reap blessing. Because it goes both ways. Whatever you sow, so shall you reap. If you reap sin, if you sow sin, you'll reap tribulation. If you sow righteousness, you will reap blessings. That's the way it is. It may not come right away. It may not even come in this life. But every time you sow righteousness, the first blessing is you feel good about it. When you sow from the flesh, you don't feel good about it. And the Spirit of the living God that dwells within us speaks clearly when that happens. Some conditions to help lessen tribulation in our life, some of the conditions in the Scriptures to help lessen tribulation in our life and instead bring blessings to our life, I'm going to go through a few of them. One is, obey your father's voice and keep his covenant. Obey your father's voice in Exodus 19:5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." That's where I want to be. I want to be God's people. I want to be the one who owns it all. I want to be His. I want to stay His 24/7, 365. That's where I feel the best. I'm the most comfortable and the happiest. Psalms 95:7. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." God speaks to us through his Spirit. God speaks to us through his word. God speaks to us through each other. Amen. Another condition is to obey God's commandments and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, "And it shall come to pass if..." You know, I was amazed after I wrote down all these conditions, I looked at them, and almost every one of them had this word, if, which is the word that brings it into being a condition. So every time I say if, I'll raise my voice a little. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, at home, at work, at school, in your neighborhood, everywhere you are, I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather the corn and the wine and the oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. Behold, I set before you this day blessing and curse. Which will you choose? A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. So it's always a choice. It's always a choice. Do we want to glorify God? Or do we want to go another way in every situation in our life? Another condition is to forgive men their sins. Do you have people in your life that you have a hard time forgiving? That's usually a challenge for a lot of people, is forgiveness. When you've been hurt by loved ones or family members or employers or whatever. But how much could they have hurt you compared to nailing Jesus to the cross? And Jesus' example is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Anybody that has ever hurt you did not know what they were doing. Really, they were messing with the child of God. They had no clue what they were doing. Someday they're going to find out, but it's not yours. It's not yours to correct. It's not yours to have vengeance about. It's not yours to have anger for. It's all God's, and it's between God and that person, and nobody gets away with anything, not even an idle word. So therefore, forgive. Forgive. Let it go. Get rid of that burden on your shoulder, in your heart, in your life. It's keeping you. It's keeping you from that peace of God that passes all understanding. It's keeping you from the joy of the Lord being your strength. Another condition for a victorious life is to continue in this, to continue in the Word of God. I hope that everybody sitting in this room reads some of this every day, because it's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You need to hide its words in your heart so you don't sin against God. You need to not be conformed to the ways of the world, but use this to renew your mind so that you can come to know what God's perfect will is for your life, for today, for tomorrow, for your relationships, for everything. Another condition is to put to death the deeds of the body. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to keep our bodies under control, and that's a lot of discipline, difficult to do some days, especially when your wife cooks such wonderful meals. Especially it's difficult when you're watching television and you're watching a good show and all of a sudden some commercial comes on with a bunch of ladies in brassieres trying advertising Victoria's Secret. What's all that about? It's amazing how much Satan kind of creeps into our lives without us looking for it. Comes at us even when we don't ask for it. But with every temptation that comes upon a man, God will always give us a way out. Choose you this day whom ye shall serve, God or the flesh. Another condition for a victorious life is to keep the faith and hold fast to the hope of the gospel. And you were sometimes alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, yet now you have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Another condition is to be spiritually minded. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. To be spiritually minded. In everything we do, we're always are able to serve the Lord in that. I do construction work. That's my occupation. I'm not a full-time minister. I do construction work. And in my construction work, I do the work as unto the Lord to please the customer so the customer can say, wow, you really do good work, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And at the same time, I try to be a light to the customers. And many times I have shared the faith with customers just because of open doors and just working in their house and them hearing about a trouble going on and me being able. God opens up those doors. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you take your first breath and step out of bed, you enter into full-time ministry. It's called the Ministry of Reconciliation, in which every single one of us have been invited or called into by God. And then you may have a special calling on your life to be a worship leader or to play an instrument or to be a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or a missionary or whatever. But as you're being a minister of reconciliation, if God wants you to do anything specific, He can get your attention. Because you're always listening for His voice. You're always spiritually in tune with His leading. And He'll let you know. Another condition is to live a 24/7, 365 relationship with God through Jesus Christ. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Boy, that's an incredible thing to, first of all, to hear and then to apply to our lives would be an incredible thing. And then another one is to keep your eye on the Lord. Another condition for a victorious life is to pray. Scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. And also, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. If you have needs in your life or concerns in your life, when you pray together with another person that's in agreement with you, there is power there that goes straight to the throne room of grace. And you can pray expecting to receive what you're praying for. Another condition is to love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Another condition is to help our fellow believers in time of need. To help our fellow believers in time of need. You know, we're always talking about helping the poor. And that is important because that's the next one I was going to talk about. But it's even more important to reach out and help those that are brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're in our family. You're a family member. You got a need. We need to know about it. And if you're going to be an island and not bring it out because of pride or whatever, then God's not going to be able to work through his people, through his design to give you the help you need. There's more scriptures in the Bible about loving the brethren than there is about witnessing to the lost. I thought that was pretty interesting. The love of the brethren is how the world knows that you belong to Christ. It's the love of the brethren. When you all come together and build somebody's barn, and the world sees you doing that together and helping out somebody whose house burned down or something, that's a huge witness. Or whatever way it might be. And next was to help the poor. But I'm going to do something kind of interesting here to conclude. By the way, talking about conditions to live a victorious life, I came up with 1,420 conditions. I don't have time to go into all of them today. But here's an interesting thing about all these conditions to live a victorious life. And this is another profound thing. This is so awesome. You can take all 1,420, and I'm sure there's many more, and you can put them in a funnel, and it comes out of that funnel. It comes out in that funnel in a very profound way. You can take every condition in the scriptures, every law ever written or spoken by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, everything that has ever been spoken by all of the prophets, every word of God that was ever spoken, every word of Jesus that was ever spoken, and it could all be put into the following truth. Matthew 22:36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first commandment, the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in Mark, I love the way Mark says it. It's very interesting. He says it like this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. And then Jesus goes on to say these words. There is no commandment greater than these. James 2:8 says it this way. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, to love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. So, it's good to learn and continue in the Word of God and learn all of the different conditions. It's good to learn all the different conditions to be able to live a victorious life. But if you're always working on loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, 24/7, 365, if you're working on that, and you're working on loving your neighbor as yourself, you're doing a good job. And I want to share this one other thing with you. The scriptures tell us to be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. That used to throw me for a loop. Why would he say something that is so impossible to do? And then I came to realize it's not impossible. You can be perfect. And everybody's short-circuiting in your brain and saying, what are you talking about? I have pages at home on what a perfect Christian is. But I want to put it in condensed version like this. When you came to become born again, at that moment, you received Christ as your Savior, and God be the judge when that happened. God knows that you did what you did. He knows if it was the real deal or not. If you became born again and received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at that moment, you became perfect in the sight of God. Perfect in the sight of God. Old things were passed away. All things were brand new. Just like a little baby being born. Perfect. Okay? From that time on, God's plan for you was to seek and find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Renew your mind day by day so that you can come to know what God's will is. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. His plan for you was to grow. Was to grow in the knowledge of Him and apply it to your life. And God's the only judge on your life. And if you are growing how God judges you as an individual should be growing, you are a perfect Christian. You're not totally perfected yet, and never will be on this earth. But for the moment, you're perfect in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So you know whether you are hungering and thirsting enough for the things of God in your life. You know whether you're into this enough. You know whether you're working on being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know how much you're loving God and how much you're seeking after His ways. You know how much you are or are not loving your neighbor as yourself. And I know these things too. And I know the things I need to repair and adjust in my life just as you do. And if we're in the right place of growing in our walk with the Lord, with all the gifts God has given us, if we're in the right place, okay, then there will hardly be any tribulation in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you most of all for the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. I personally have been living this life for 32 years. And it's still fresh and new to me every day. And I thank you, Lord, for this congregation of family members in the faith of Jesus Christ. And I pray for each and every one in here, Lord God, that they will grab a hold of their desire to know you in a greater way when they leave today, and they will never let it down. They will hunger and thirst.